Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And if you're out on the roads, the roads were pretty nice coming into the station here tonight. But this morning going to church, it was fun. It was just sliding around. And I was at the nursing home this afternoon and talking to a couple of the people working there and that had drove in the morning from Akron and Cleveland area. And boy, they all were talking the same thing. Roads are pretty bad this morning, but hey, the snow's still coming down here and there. But for the most part, the roads have doing pretty good right now, but I'm sure there's still some rough spots on the side streets and all. So if you're out tonight, just be careful out there in the roads and keep an eye on things. Well, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for giving us the opportunity on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program, help us appoint people to Christ through the things that we talk about, help us lift up and glorify Jesus Christ through the program, and help us to answer questions that people might have that might help them to be strengthened in their faith. Father, bless, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a busy, busy week here, and just looking at my driveway coming out and thinking, I know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I think I'm going to get the snowblower out and try to clean out my driveway a little bit again. I got a snowblower a couple of years ago, and I've used it more this winter than I have in the last couple of years, or last several years, 3 years or so combined, but it's just like being a kid again, in a sense. I driving around looking at these mountains of snow. When I was learning to drive and got my driver's license back in the 70s, I remember when we were having the big winters back when the ice age was coming, that parking lots had these mountains of snow all over the place. And I remember at our house, my dad would use a tractor to dig out the driveway and piled up all the snow. And we had these giant mountains of snow that, and of course, the kids love to play on that. And so it's been kind of nice to see them. Haven't had snow like this for a while here in Northeast Ohio. You get kind of spoiled with some milder winters, but it is kind of cyclical. And it's kind of interesting, though, the Great Lakes are gaining probably some of the greatest amount of ice coverage that they've recorded. In fact, Lake Superior, as of, I believe it's Thursday or Friday, was 92% ice covered, which is a record since they've been monitoring it. The previous record was, I believe, 91% that was set back in 1994. And so it's just amazing to see that Lake Erie, I guess, as again of about Thursday or Friday, was about 96% covered in. And I'm just waiting to see how long it takes for somebody gets the bright idea that he's going to drive across the lake to Canada. I remember that happening in the 70s there. A couple of people tried to drive across Lake Erie, and I think they made it part way, if I remember correctly. But I suppose if you pick the location in maybe where the ice is thick and you only had to go maybe a couple hundred feet where the lake narrows down, you know, something like that, maybe you could make it, but I'm not about to try that. Well, I hope you'll give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. A couple things I wanted to talk about, but one thing came out in the news yesterday, and wanted to mention it. We can talk about it more if you'd like as well. But Attorney General Eric Holder, he made an announcement yesterday that says that the federal government, the Department of Justice, has come on board with same-sex marriages nationwide, and that they're going to extend to same-sex couples, even in states that do not legally recognize a same-sex marriage. They're going to extend the benefits and everything that is offered to people in same-sex marriages in states that that recognize it. Now, Ohio being a state that does not recognize same-sex marriage is going to be made to recognize it in certain situations. And this kind of got its start last year when the Supreme Court made a ruling that it was unconstitutional to deny federal benefits to married same-sex couples. Now, the Department of Justice endorsed that or supported that ruling. Certainly, Attorney General Eric Holder endorsed that. President Obama endorsed that. In fact, he said that the Defense of Marriage Act, which was actually overruled by the Supreme Court, was discrimination enshrined into law. And so he is on board with this as well. But basically, this is what's going to happen. Same-sex couples are going to be covered under what is known as the spousal privilege. And that's a rule that says that spouses cannot be forced to testify against each other, for instance, in the court of law, in any federal court, regardless of the state that it's in. Same-sex couples will be eligible to file jointly for bankruptcy and receive the same protections in bankruptcy court as other married couples do. The Bureau of Prisons is going to extend the same visitation rights to married same-sex couples as it does to opposite-sex couples. And also, the Justice Department is going to recognize same-sex couples when determining eligibility programs or for programs like the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, which pays people who are injured or otherwise hurt as a result of the 2001 terrorist attacks. And the same-sex spouses of police killed in the line of duty and will be available or eligible for federal benefits. And I also believe that the same-sex spouses of military members killed in the line of duty eligible for the federal benefits there as well. And I'm sure there's more that's going to be coming out on this. Certainly, it is a breaking story. And, you know, I just heard the announcement yesterday. And you know, I don't know a whole lot about all of it. People that are in tune with the legal aspects of this, I'm sure will be analyzing this during the coming week. And I'm sure that some states will be questioning if the government can legally, if the federal government can legally enforce some of these things on the individual states, which if you remember from if you had any civics classes or anything when you were in school, we forget that the federal government is a construct of the states. It's not the other way around. However, in practice today, the federal government acts as if the states are a construct of the federal government. What I mean to say is that the federal government is supposed to be really subservient to the states and not the other way around. So that's an interesting thing. It's I encourage you to study the Constitution, and there's some good books that you can find talking about the Constitution out there. Maybe we'll mention some of them from time to time. Maybe we can get a conversation going some night, get a guest maybe sometime talking about that subject and how Christians ought to be considering things that are happening in the politics and in the country around us. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our phone number, and we have Tim from Wycliffe calling in tonight. Tim, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Hi, good evening.
You hear the president this week at the prayer breakfast say he was a Christian.
Yes, he said that before, and you know, but go ahead. I'll let you say what you want to say.
Well, the Bible says by their fruits you will know them, and I think Holder and him got that mixed up, that scripture there.
I would agree with that. You know, it's one of those things that in order to run for president, you ever notice this? Everybody that runs for president is a Christian, or at least claims to be a Christian. And I'm not 100% sure that everybody that's run for president, current president included, are truly Christians. Some of them may have been Christians in name only.
I think Eisenhower may have been a Jehovah's Witness.
What's that?
I believe Eisenhower may have been a Jehovah's Witness, even.
Okay, and I'm not sure about that. But let me give you a couple things here. And you brought up the point about by their fruits you shall know them. And people like to say, oh, you shouldn't judge. You shouldn't judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, the Bible says we got to judge with righteous judgment. And we're called to make judgments all the time. And you just mentioned where the Bible talks about by their fruits you shall know them. And this is just a little synopsis of some things. We have seen President Obama speak rather disrespectfully of Christians, and certainly in April 2008, he talked down about them as people who bitterly cling to guns and religion and have an antipathy for people who are not like them. In February 2009, he announced plans to revoke the conscious protection for healthcare workers who refuse to participate in medical activities such as abortion that go against their beliefs. And he implemented that plan in February 2011. In April 2009, while speaking at Georgetown University, he ordered that the monogram symbolizing Jesus' name be covered when he was making his speech. And we can go on and on. There's the thing where he refused to say, you know, in the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, where he just seemed to keep missing the phrase under God. And then also when quoting from the Declaration of Independence, where it says, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, he kept saying endowed with certain unalienable rights, but he would pause and kind of pucker up for a moment, and then and just kept missing that. But you know, on and on, we can see here a number of things, and that's going back pretty far. But we can see more recently this push for same-sex marriage that I was talking about earlier here. The Bible condemns that. God created Adam and Eve, and he brought them together, and he created the woman to be the complement for the man. And the first marriage was in the Bible was Adam and Eve. And the sin of sodomy is basically because of same-sex activities. And Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed not because, as one group tried to say, the lack of hospitality. It was destroyed because of homosexual activity. And, you know, we go on and on, this push for that, the push to mainstream homosexuals in the media, the push for more abortion. Remember, he famously said about abortion that he didn't want his daughters, if they got pregnant out of wedlock, to be punished with a baby. And I found it kind of interesting that when he was asked, I think it was about about 6 years or so ago, he was asked by Rick Warren when he thought life began, and he said that was above my pay grade.
Yes.
And obviously, read the Bible, he would know that life begins at conception. And actually, if he valued life, and he didn't know when life began, he would want to err on the side of caution. And if he didn't know that life began at conception or somewhere after that, he would certainly want to protect life in those areas where he didn't know when it began. And, you know, he has funded abortion on the international scale. Had $50 million given to the UN for population control, promoting abortion and things like that.
McCoy voted in Illinois.
Before, when he was a senator in Illinois. And, you know, we can go on and on. By his fruits, he does not seem to indicate that he has the values that our Bible promotes. You know, you just have to weigh what he does by the scriptures. Does he promote life? No, he does not. And he has a great deal of sympathy for Islam. He was certainly raised as a young man, very young man, as a Muslim. He was a Muslim at birth. And people say, well, how can you be a Muslim at birth? Well, that's because under Islam, if your father is a Muslim, you are a Muslim at birth. And, you know, he was enrolled in a school in Indonesia with his religion listed as Muslim. And he wears a ring. If you ever see a close-up of his ring that has a Muslim phrase, I think it's the phrase, what is it? There's only one God, or Allah's the only God, and Muhammad's his messenger, or something to that effect. But it's inscribed in Arabic on his ring. That's the ring he wears as a wedding ring. And, you know, it's just on and on and on. But people say, well, he was a member of the Trinity United Methodist Church in Chicago. I believe it was Trinity United Method. And Reverend Wright there, I'll think of the name of the church there, but Reverend Wright there was asked in an interview if he converted, I said Trinity United Methodist. I think it was Trinity United Church of Christ. There we go. And he was Reverend Wright was asked if he was the one that converted President Obama at that time, Mr. Obama, to Christianity. And he said, I wouldn't say that. And I've had a couple of people tell me that at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, there are people who are members there who are Muslims. They were not required to leave Islam to become a member. People say, well, how can they do that? Well, Louis Farrakhan was honored at that church and spoke at that church many times. He was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, I mean, we can talk about this sort of thing all the time, but whether he's a Muslim today or not, whether he's a practicing Muslim today or not, the fact of the matter is he was born a Muslim and raised the first years of his life as a Muslim, and even as a young man, knew the call to the Muslim call to prayer by heart. Said that the sound of the trump the call to prayer, the Friday call to prayer, was one of the sweetest sounds on earth. And so he has a lot of sympathy for Islam and a lot of antipathy for Christianity. And, you know, so we can go on and on and on, and a lot of antipathy for the principles of the Bible and for born-again Christians. But again, regardless of that, you know, we are still called to pray for him. He's our president. Yeah. I know a lot of people get on the air and they say, he's not my president. Well, if you're an American citizen, like it or not, he is your president, whether you like it or not.
We still have to respect the office.
Exactly. And we're still supposed to pray for our leaders. Our church, every week, we pray for the president of the United States of America. And we pray that God will guide him. And we also pray that God will protect him. And we pray that God will reach him with the gospel message that he might be saved. Think of what it would be to see the president of the United States trust Christ as his savior and then begin to live for the Lord. I'm thinking of Nebuchadnezzar back in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king of the Babylonians, and God allowed him to conquer Jerusalem as a judgment over the Jewish people for rejecting God and turning to idolatry. But when you read in the book of Daniel, there's a point in the book of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar looks up and he recognizes that Jehovah is the one true God. And based on that, I kind of think we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar was a world leader of his day, and it made an impact on, I think, on the kingdom and on people when that happened.
Somebody show the president eating grass on the 6 o'clock news. I won't.
Yeah, for people who aren't familiar, that's what happened because God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, and for 7 years he lost his mind, lived like an animal in the fields, and then after 7 years they went looking for him, and God restored him to his sanity and restored him to his throne. I'll give you another person in the Bible who was a world leader, a leader in his day, and that's King Manasseh. King Manasseh, the Bible records, is one of the most wicked kings that ever ruled over Judah, the southern kingdom. And he disobeyed God. He led them in all manner of idolatry and abomination. He even sacrificed his own children to false gods and burned them in the fire alive. And it was so bad that God said, enough. Israel and my people have violated the covenant that we had, and as because of what Manasseh has done, it's reached the point where I'm going to bring judgment on them. Manasseh was captured by the Assyrians, and he was placed into a prison, actually in Babylon, which prefigured the Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people. And while he was in that prison, he turned his heart to the Lord. And by faith, he reached out to God and asked for forgiveness, and God returned him back to Jerusalem, returned him back to the throne, and he became, in the latter years, one of the more godly kings that Judah had. And that's an amazing story. And so I look at it, and I my hope and my prayer is that President Obama would trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and be open about it and live his faith in front of the world.
What are the chances that the heathen that saw that comment on the news that he made really believe him and start following Christ? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be so amazing. And, you know, I think that Christians, and if you, if people listening do not like, you know, our president, if you're born again, you ought to pray for his salvation.
I know.
And he's a human being. He has a soul. And if he trusts Christ as his Savior, then perhaps his wife would, and perhaps his children would, regardless of the effect that it has on the world and on the nation. Mm-hmm. And you know, and certainly people rejoice when the righteous are in power, the Bible says. But to see him trust Christ as his Savior, as a husband, as a father— you know, they show from statistics that when the husband, when the father in the home trusts Christ as his Savior, the odds are that the wife and children will also get saved as well. The odds of everybody in the house getting saved are far greater when the father gets saved than if one of the children or even the mother gets saved. And that's an exciting thing.
Look so, how many times in the Bible when the head of the house gets saved, it says, and his whole house.
Exactly. I'm thinking of the Philippian jailer, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so certainly we need to pray. And what would happen if believers around the country and indeed around the world prayed for this man's salvation? You know, rather than just pray for his destruction, pray for his salvation.
Yeah, instead of damning him, it would have a big impact. I agree.
Yeah, it would be a tremendous thing. If he could run for a third term, I don't think he'd get the Democrat nomination in this political climate, though, if he got saved.
I don't either. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that call, and a little different tack there, but you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is the number. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and that was certainly current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. We'll be here till midnight and taking your calls and your questions about the Bible and current events. And I just want to encourage you. We talk about politics from time to time, and a lot of times people like to call up and complain about politics. And I listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to a lot of secular talk radio. And, you know, you hear people call up and you know, as Christians, we want to do more than just call and complain. The Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light in the world, and we're supposed to be a testimony and a witness to the world around us, and we're supposed to pray for people, and we're supposed to love the unsaved world. You know, the Bible says that Jesus loved us so much that he willingly went to the cross. And that includes me that he went to the cross for. That includes you that he went to the cross for. That includes the most horrible, vile sinner that ever lived that he went to the cross for. And everything in between. And so we need to pray for people. We need to pray that God would reach them with the gospel. But we also, as Christians, need to get involved in the world around us. We just can't hide our head in the church and in our Bibles and in our hymn books and hope for the best. We need to get involved. There's primary elections coming up here in Ohio in May. And I work the elections. I'm one of the people, when you come in and you get your ballot and help you with that so that you can vote. And I do that every time at the elections when I can. And it never ceases to amaze me how many people do not vote in the primaries and then complain about who's on the ballot in the general election in the fall. The decision and the opportunity to get people on the ballot, that's happening right now. Every single seat in the United States House is up for election this year. Every single seat. And you can have an influence in who's going to be nominated in your district by getting involved and making it to your primary election, whether you vote on the Democrat ballot or on the Republican ballot or on the Green Party ballot or the Libertarian Party ballot or whatever ballot you vote on. If you get involved and go out and vote, you can make an effort to help people get elected on this ballot that'll reflect your values and that they can be put forward in the general election in the fall. And you say, well, I don't like the people who are on the ballot. Well, maybe you might want to run yourself. There's no law that says born-again Christians can't run for public office. And you can find out, contact your county, find out what'll get you on the ballot, what it takes. Well, stay tuned. We got another half hour.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to give us a call here tonight, or at least stay listening. We're the telephone line's open, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can get in. The phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. Brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. More information about that will be out at the end of the program again. And also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is the home of the homemade pizza. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights also has calzone, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, a whole lot more to choose from there. And you can, again, call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Mention Live with Pastor Al and you can get a medium one topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza. Pickup or delivery 216-341-9100. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school there on Turney Road at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. If you're interested in opening your own pizza shop and not sure how to get started in the business, or maybe you've looked and been scared off by some of the high franchise fees, why don't you call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And again, that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, home of the homemade pizza. All right, let's get back to our program here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And it looks like we have Dave and Berea on the line. Dave, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening, Pastor.
Thank Hi, good evening.
God bless. God bless. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, glad to have you.
I have a question. I'm kind of confused about the absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Oh, okay. That's it. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe. Let me turn over there. But okay. Go ahead with your question.
And then, and about the those who are in Christ will rise. I believe that's how it's put. I'm kind of confused.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. The first part is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what it is. Chapter 5, not 6. Chapter 5. And the verse is chapter 6. That's where Paul writes, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing this, that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And then he goes on to say, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And is that the part you're talking about?
Well, I think what I'm asking is that upon death,
right,
that we are absent from the body and we will be present with the Lord.
Right. And yeah, that's because obviously we have three parts to our being, body, soul, and spirit. And while we're alive, those three parts are together. And as a believer, when we die, Paul is telling us here that we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. Now, the body does not, and that's key, I think, to the second part of your question, which was, let's see here, and that was what happens, if you want to repeat that second part of your question again.
Well, then it goes into, maybe it is something to do with the second coming, where those in Christ will rise.
Right. And that brings us over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is what a lot of people miss, and this is what causes a lot of confusion sometimes over what's going to happen at the time that the Lord comes back for us. And see, right now, you and I, as born-again believers, we're here, body, soul, and spirit. Now, if you or I were to pass away, our soul and our spirit as a born-again believer would go to be with the Lord in heaven. Now, if you were not a born-again believer, your soul and spirit would go into hell, and that's where the dwelling place of the unsaved would be. But the body, whether you're born-again believer or whether you're not born again, the body doesn't go anywhere. It stays here, right? We bury it in the ground, or perhaps they get cremated and something like that. But the body, the physical part of us, remains here. The soul and the spirit go elsewhere. The believer into the presence of the Lord, the unsaved person into hell. And now what happens passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that confuses people. Paul writes in verse 13 here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And when he says sleep in Jesus, he's talking about believers that have died. So this would be a believer in Christ, a saved person who has died. And remember, when this believer died, their soul and their spirit went to be with the Lord in heaven. Their body was laid into the tomb. And Paul continues to write here in verse 15. He says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, prevent here in this case means precede. You say, well, wait a minute. Prevent means to stop or to hold back or keep from happening. Yes, that's true. But if you look in the dictionary, you'll find that sometimes in the past, people would also use prevent to mean to precede or go before. And just because we don't use it that way today doesn't negate the fact that people used it that way in times past. And so it's a little used part of the definition. And there's a lot of words where we have older meanings to it that we don't use so much today, or we use a different mean. The meaning of the word has changed a little bit. But so prevent here meant precede, not to precede or go before with them which are asleep, which is a reference to those that have died. And then he begins to explain himself here. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, remember, when a believer dies, the dead in Christ, that's what we're talking about, a believer, when they die, their soul and spirit go to be with the Lord in heaven. The body is in the tomb, okay? So what this is saying is when the Lord comes back, he says he descends from heaven, there's a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And it says, "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." See, the dead body that has been in the tomb is going to be resurrected at this event. This is the event we call the rapture, the catching away. We get that term from verse 17 where it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." That phrase "caught up" literally means to be snatched up quickly. And in the Latin versions of the Bible, it is where we get the term rapture from, because rapiro, meaning same thing we get the term rapid from. And so rapture, to be caught up. Somebody is enraptured with emotion. They're caught up in emotion or something like that. And so to be caught up, to be snatched up quickly, that's the rapture. And the dead in Christ, the Bible says, their bodies. That's what we're talking about, their bodies. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the body being changed as corruptible, putting on incorruption. And the body is what's caught up. The dead in Christ are with the Lord. In fact, verse 14 proves that. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, Jesus is God. God is, or Jesus is God the Son, the third person of the Trinity, or second person of the Trinity. And so when Jesus descends in the clouds, the Bible says the dead in Christ are coming with him. That would be the soul and the spirit that's in heaven. The dead body that's in the tomb is going to be resurrected, changed into an incorruptible body. I encourage people to study the last half of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can see that in more detail. And that dead body raised up, reunited with that soul and spirit that comes with Jesus in the clouds, and then we're caught up. And now we're here, body, soul, and spirit. And in the moment that we're caught up, our body is changed into an incorruptible body, an immortal body, a body with no sin nature. And when you understand that absent from the body means to be present with the Lord, you can see how that works. Why the dead in Christ come with Jesus, but the dead also rise. It's because the soul and spirit come with Jesus and the dead body rises. And then the soul and spirit and the body, the resurrected body, are united together with Jesus in the clouds. Does that help with understanding there?
Yeah, so to clarify, to say absent from the body.
Right. That's at death.
Present with the Lord.
Right. And for the believer, that's when you die. Your soul and spirit are separated from your body, and they go directly to be with the Lord. And then your body goes into the tomb or, you know, whatever, however it's disposed of.
So what I'm trying to explain to some people, is that your soul, which is the most important part.
Yeah, it's the soul and spirit that's with the Lord in heaven.
And you're now waiting for your body
to be resurrected, right?
And the argument that I'm getting from quite a few is, why would you really care about your body if the soul is the most important part?
Well, and see, but what that fails to take into consideration is that God created us in his image. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1 where God said, let us create man in our image? And the image of God created he man, you know, and when you look at the creation of Adam in the Garden of Eden, it says he formed his body out of the dust of the earth, and that's the physical part of man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that's the spirit. And then it says he became a living soul. So God exists in three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're in his image, so we're a three-part being. Just like that. And so the three parts are all a part of you. To be complete, you have to have all three parts. That'd be like God would be incomplete without his spirit, or without God the Father, or without God the Son. So the problem that happened is when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. He told them about the tree of life, and he said not to eat from the tree of life lest you die. And they did die, although people say, well, wait a minute, the Bible says they lived hundreds of years after that. I thought they were supposed to die immediately. They died immediately spiritually. They died spiritually, so they were incomplete. They had a living body, a living soul, but a dead spirit. And see, when we die, when we get saved, our spirit is made alive in Christ. And so now, when we die as a believer, our living spirit and our living soul are in the presence of God, but our dead body is lost to us. And so in order to be complete what God created us to be, prior to the fall, a living soul, a living spirit, and a living body. A body without a sin nature, I might add. We need that resurrection. So, the resurrection of the body is important for a variety of reasons. One, to make us what we were supposed to be in the beginning, and also to fulfill God's word. If there was no resurrection, then all of this that I just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 would not be true, and everything talking about the resurrection of the body would be a lie. So the resurrection of the body is very important. The body is you as much as your soul and spirit are. And it's kind of hard to say which part of your body is the least importance. For all eternity, as a believer, will exist as a body, soul, and spirit, just as God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're created in His image. So that's one of the reasons it's very important. So
yes, I thank you so much for...
I appreciate that, and that is something that gets people confused from time to time. You know this because we lose track of that, and if you pay close attention, like I said, to what's going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and relate that to where we are at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it makes perfect sense how the dead in Christ can come back with Jesus and yet be raised at the same time. That's because the soul and spirit come back with him, and the body is raised and turned into an incorruptible body without a sin nature that they'll be blessed to enjoy throughout all eternity. And, of course, we will too.
I will study, get into that quite a bit more, but I sure appreciate your deep input on that, Pastor, and God bless and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. And we're going to take our next caller here. And I believe we have Dawn in Cleveland up next. And Dawn, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you. It's almost a follow-up with the last caller. We have what's coming up called the Four Blood Moons. Are you familiar with
that? Oh, yeah. That's very interesting because, and for people who are wondering what that is, a blood moon's a lunar eclipse. And when there's four in conjunction with certain Jewish holidays or holy days, no eclipses in between. And what that means is that this year on Passover, which I believe is April 14th, I think it is, or April 15th, April 15th, there's going to be a lunar eclipse, total lunar eclipse. And there will be no further lunar eclipse until this fall during the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe it is. And then after that, no further lunar eclipse until next year, 2015, on the day of Passover again. And then after that, the next lunar eclipse, total lunar eclipse, will be on the Feast of Tabernacles in 2015. And that combination of those four total lunar eclipses is what they call the Blood Moon Tetrad. And the last time that happened was after Israel captured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And then the time previous to that was after Israel became a state in 1948. And then you have to go all the way back to the 1400s, after Columbus discovered America, at the time that the Jews were thrown out of Spain and the persecution of the Jews in Europe was increasing and essentially a land of sanctuary was found for them. So these things don't happen all the time, and they seem to happen after some rather important event has taken place regarding the Jewish people. I believe this set of blood moons will only be the eighth time that it's happened since the birth of Christ. And I see an interesting progression. In the late 1400s, it followed the time that there was a sanctuary provided for the Jewish people. excuse me, which the New World became. And it was a place where Jews could flee from Europe and Asia, where they were under persecution, and enjoy a great deal more freedom and safety. And then, of course, the next time that it happened was after the Jews formed a state. And then the next time it happened is after they took control of the Temple Mount, the site of the temple. And it's kind of interesting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, right, that it was 19 years from the blood moons after Israel became a state until the blood moons after they gained the Temple Mount. And it's 48 years after they gained the Temple Mount to when the set that's starting this year occurs. You know, 19 years, 48 years. Does 1948 sound familiar?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. If you're in the 1400s and you look forward in time, the next set of blood moons are 19 years apart, and then the next set is 48 years later, 1948. If you look backwards in time, there's a blood moon, set of blood moons, and then 19 years before that was another set, and 48 years before that was the previous set. So looking backwards, you see 19 and 48. Looking forward, you see 19 and 48. And 1948 is the year that Israel became a state. If you add 19 and 48 together, you get 67. What year did Israel gain control, the Jewish people gain control of the Temple Mount for the first time in thousands of years? 1967.
Right.
Purely coincidence, I'm sure. I would expect that since these things happen, if there's any significance to this, I would expect that we could see something take place in the Middle East in the coming few months. Because these things seem to happen after the significant event. They don't predict an event or anything in particular, but, and this is just my guess. If you see the progression in the 1400s, a place of sanctuary, in after 1948, a state, after 1967, the site of the temple, I would not be surprised if we see the laying of the cornerstone on the Temple Mount for the temple to be rebuilt. Not the temple necessarily being rebuilt, but the laying of the cornerstone. And I would not be surprised to see that. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just making an educated guess. That's all that is. That's not a prophecy. That's just a guess. And that would make sense, because there's a push right now to get the Jews and the Palestinians to enter into a peace settlement. And our country's been forcing and trying to strong arm Israel. Secretary of State Kerry, was implying, thinly veiled threat that Israel's going to suffer increased international isolation and boycotts and increased terror activity if they don't cooperate in this latest round of peace talks. And so it may be that the Palestinians and the various Muslim interests might capitulate and say, well, we'll allow you to set the cornerstone for the temple, possibly as a condition for doing this. That, I don't know. It's going to be exciting to see what happens in the next couple of months. And if there's anything to this, I think we'll see something. So we'll have to talk about this as we get closer to April, won't we?
We will. But also, in talking about the four blood moons, there have been different pastors, messianic pastors.
Yeah. We've got about 20 seconds. I have to go quick.
I'm sorry, what?
I got about 20 seconds.
So. Okay. I just wanted to say in Joel 2:30-31, mm-hmm. it talks about the change of the heavens, and God coordinates all this. And it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. Believe in talking with
Hey, I'm gonna have to interrupt there. Sorry, we're out of time, but keep looking up, and we'll talk about this in the future. Thanks. God bless. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at
Pastor Al at MapleKnoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.